first verse of the 29th chapter of the book of Proverbs. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let us pray. Father, I do thank you again today for the Word of God. I thank you for this powerful verse of Scripture that we've just read. And Father, this preacher this morning needs your help. I need you, Father, to do it through me. I need the power of God. I need you to fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray also for wisdom. I need your wisdom today. And Father, I need the clarity of mind and thought and speech. And Father, we need an attentive spirit in our services today, that the Word of God would be listened to, that each one, Father, would be attentive and not stirring around, not talking, not doing other things, Lord, that they should not be doing, but just simply listening to the message today. We'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to bring a message this morning which I've entitled, The Danger of Resisting God. Simple message this morning that there is a danger in us resisting God Almighty. I've found, and I'm sure you have too, that there's all kinds of warning signs along the road of life. I've found that you can go down a highway and find many of those. They tell you that when a sharp curve is coming and tell you when you ought to slow down, and the reason, there's usually a good reason for that. They also tell you when you ought to stop. And all kinds of things. There might be a sign that says high water. Probably be a good thing if we looked around and took notice of that, because possibly there's going to be some water. Some folk don't pay much attention to those things. I read here a while back when we had that flood, that guy pulled up there and thought he could go through and went down in, got in the middle of that, and people's even lost their lives in things like that. And so there's all kinds of warning signs. Good thing, long time ago they put on cigarettes, it's danger for your health. We knew that a long time before that, but it's on there, and people ought to take heed to that, amen? People are dying now of lung cancer because they won't pay no attention to what's on a cigarette pack. Same thing with drinking and other things, and also medicines. We know that all kinds of warnings on medicines, keep out of the reach of children, it says, you know, don't take too much of this, and all kinds of warnings. Keep products, you know, away from children. All kinds of products say that, you know. Good thing to do. And there's just a lot of warnings out there. I remember a time, it's been a few years back, I don't remember the year, but I remember a time that I read in the paper about some skiers that was up skiing, and this is a beautiful place to ski, but there was signs there that says, danger of avalanche. Avalanche, do not ski here. They did it anyway, and they literally was buried and was killed in that. They just did not heed the warning. I remember when I read that, I thought, boy, you know, just what if they just paid attention to what it said not to do, they'd still be alive, you know. And a lot of folk just don't heed warnings. Well, let me say to you, God himself sends out a lot of warning signals to people on the road to eternity. I mean, he puts a lot of them out there, a lot of warnings. And verse number 1 of chapter 29 of the book of Proverbs is a very, in some ways, hard but yet loving verse of Scripture. In fact, when I read it, it kind of makes me shudder a little bit. It's so definite. It's so firm. God says, he that being oft reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without a remedy. You see, we're told in this verse of Scripture about the terrible judgment of God Almighty. No doubt about it. It's coming. God says it is. And yet, I believe, as we'll look in just a moment, we're going to also find out that God all the time also shows us his wonderful love and how he's willing to help and willing to bless us and willing to give us even eternal life to those who know not Christ as personal Savior. God is always there with his wonderful love, ready to help us and to be a blessing to us. But at the same time, he's always, always showing us that judgment absolutely is coming. We know the Bible tells us that God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Word of God says he's not slack concerning his promises. Now, folks, he's not slack, and sometimes people think because God doesn't act immediately, he's slack. He's not going to take care of it. He's not going to do what he said. But the Bible says he's long-suffering to us. The reason men may think he's slack, but the reason he's slack, or it seems like it to men, is because he's long-suffering. He loves us. He cares for us. And he doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to come to repentance. Amen? Did you agree with that? You see, that's God. And he's always warning us, though, and showing us that judgment is coming. But you know, the very first part of this verse, we find showing forth the wonderful love of God Almighty. The Bible says, he that being oft reproved. You notice there, it simply means in spite of many warnings. God does not all at once look down and see somebody do something and he says, pow, I'll just get rid of you, you know. If he did that, we'd all be gone, wouldn't we? Amen? And God in his loving kindness is reproving us and warning us over and over. The word reprove there speaks of chastisement, of correction, of rebuke, of reproof. You see, even to the point of being reasoned with. God is constantly reasoning with us and chastising us and reproving us and rebuking us, correcting us, you see. God is doing that. And because of that, we know he loves us. Often reproved. Multitudes of people often reproved. God reproves them, and yet they harden their neck against God Almighty. The Bible speaking in John, the 16th chapter, the 8th verse, and he's speaking of the Holy Spirit of God here. He says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. He will convict the world of sin. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God convicts of sin. God is good to us in that he sent the Holy Spirit of God to convict us of sin. Reproving us over and over and over and over. And yet at the same time, reminding us that judgment is coming. Absolutely, judgment is on its way. God wants to convict us, but judgment is coming, God says. Judgment is coming. I love you, but judgment is coming. I love you. I want you to do right. I want you to come to me, but I want you to know judgment is coming. I'm sure you realize that God had every right, even today, to cast every single one of us into hell if he wanted to. I mean, he would have that right. He would not be an unholy, unjust God if he did that. He would have every right whatsoever to do that. And yet constantly, over and over and over, he is seeking to bring people to himself. Isn't that wonderful? We was talking on Wednesday night, the wonderful, wonderful, precious love of God. We're the one that rebel against him. We're the ones that sins against him. And yet he's the very one that comes and brings his grace for us to be saved. To me, I can't get over that. That's amazing. God is so good to us. We find an example in the Bible. Saul of Tarsus was a militant enemy of God Almighty in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. I mean, he was an enemy. He was a militant enemy. And yet God loved him. And God done everything to bring him to himself. And he was brought to him and was used greatly of the Lord. So now what I want to do, first of all, is I want to look at how God reproves and warns men. The Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Before I go any further, there's some boys back there that's writing or doing something they're not supposed to be. I want you looking up here, and I want you to just keep looking up here and hearing the preaching, okay, of the Bible, okay? Now, we find, he says, that he that being often reproved harden his neck. You see, we know something. God has ways of reproving us. All kinds of ways. And he does it sometimes through the life of a parent, through the life of a friend. I've known many stories. I've heard many testimonies. I've read many testimonies. You probably have too. How parents had prayed for their wayward children. I mean, they had prayed faithfully for their wayward children, and there would be things come up in their life that they would be reminded once again of how good God was and what God could do for them. And they came back to the Lord because there was people who were praying for them, and not only praying for them, but admonishing them and talking to them and speaking to them about their way of life. God uses people like that. God uses friendships. Have you ever had a friend of yours simply say something to you that would rebuke you and them not even maybe knowing what they were saying? I have. I've had that. I've had God use people in my life to say something to me they didn't even know what they were saying, and yet he rebuked me in my spirit. God dealt with me about that matter. I'm saying to you, God uses those things. He reproves us over and over again. Sometimes it's through a preacher. Sometimes it's through that preacher who stands in that pulpit, and everybody out there just knows that somebody's been talking about them and that they knows everything about that individual. But let me say to you, most of the time this preacher does not know anything about that whatsoever. He's bringing forth the message. He got back here in the study and he got alone with the Lord, and God said, this is what I want you to say to the people. He knew who's going to be there. He knows the need of the life. And so through the preacher, God brings forth the Word of God. Oh, we get convicted and God works and deals with us, you know. And haven't you ever been there? Well, I have, absolutely. And I hope I never quit being there, because that's the way God works and deals in our life. Amen? When the revival time comes, I sit there and listen. I want God to speak to me as well as you folks. I'm going to sit there and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to sit there attentively listening to the preaching of the Word of God. God, what have you got for me? What is it you want for my life? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to tell me? So God uses preachers over and over, and yet many times people reject that preaching of the Word of God. They think the preacher's just after them, or he's just saying that just to get back at somebody. Folks, listen, a preacher of the Word of God that loves the Lord wouldn't do that. He's just simply preaching what God tells him to preach, you see. And not only that, Sunday school teachers. Have you ever been in a Sunday school class? Young people, older folk in Sunday school class, and the Sunday school teacher begins to teach a lesson, and all at once God begins to get a hold of your heart and says, this is what is right in my Word, and I want you to listen. I'm reproving you about this matter. I'm talking to you about this matter. Have you ever been there? Of course you have. Absolutely. Because that's what the Word of God does. And God uses people to bring reproof, correction unto our life, to reprove us. As it says here, many times he's been reproved. Often, you see, they had been reproved. I think sometimes God uses drastic measures. This is up to God. I don't know what he's always doing in people's lives. I don't even want to get into that. That's not my business. But I know this, God uses drastic measures sometimes to bring people unto himself. I know God has used the death of loved ones to bring someone to himself. Amen. I don't know why he has to do that. That's God's business, but I know it happens. I've read testimonies to that fact, you see. And I know it is true. God often reproves us over and over and over, reproving us. Sometimes he'll bring a great sorrow into our life. I mean, deep sorrow. Have you ever had something that just cut you and just brought you to the place of some of the deepest sorrow you've ever been in? Well, you know, I don't know why God allows all of those things, but many times I know God is using those sorrows to bring us closer to himself. Amen? And God uses sorrow sometimes to bring the lost to himself. You see, he reproves us through sorrows. Sometimes it's sicknesses that God will use. I don't know how many testimonies of people and of people I've read and talked to when God used a sickness to bring them to himself, that they might lay on their back to look up and realize God was trying to speak to them, you see. I don't know why God does all things. I'm not trying to say he does this for that reason or that reason, but I'm saying I know there's times when God uses drastic measures to bring people to himself. Sometimes it's business failures. I mean, sometimes everything is just cut right out from under their feet. I mean, it's gone. I mean, it's just, they just go bankrupt, you know. I don't know why God does all those, but I know this. God is a perfect, wonderful God. And all things that he does, he has a reason for them. It may not be for a reason I might think, but God does it, and I don't understand them all, but I know God does it, and I know this. He's loving, and he loves us. And he's doing it for a right purpose and a good purpose. Amen? Our God is good. And so I know there's been people brought to Christ. I mean, they got saved because of their business had failed completely. They didn't know. It might be personal loss of some kind that might just cause you to come to Christ. I'm simply saying God reproves us in multitudes of ways. He reproves us. And let me say to you, he'll go a long, long way to bring men to himself. Amen. You got to remember that God's looking in eternity and we're looking down here on this earth. We're looking for a short period of time, maybe 70, 80, 90, 100 years, who knows, whatever God's grace gives us. We're looking for that period of time, and yet God is looking for eternity. All of eternity, you see. And God knows if He can, what, no matter what we might have to suffer, what we might have to go through down here, it's worth it for eternity. Amen? Don't we have a loving God? And so I know, according to that first portion of that verse of Scripture, I know God loves me. And I know He loves you, and I know He loves mankind, because He says, He that being often reproved, He that being often reproved. In other words, that person needed reproof from God over and over and over and over, and yet He loved them and continued to reprove them. Amen? God's love is wonderful. Now we find in that next little statement, we find how sinners treat God. We find out, He says, after being often reproved, hardeneth his neck. We find that the Word of God simply says that they harden their neck against God. In other words, they take a stand against God. God, I'm not going to do what you say. You've reproved me over and over and over, but I'm not going to do what you asked me to do. I remember, and I've told this story before. If you've heard it before, just act like you haven't, all right? But when I was a boy, My friend and I lived down the road about a mile from me. We lived out in the country, and we'd get together. He'd come up to my house or go down to his. I liked going to his house, and the reason was he had some old workhorses down there. His daddy had some workhorses. I mean, it was those old big workhorses. One was a white one, one was a black one. And we would get sometimes, I don't know, they were so big, you know, but they was tame. And so we would go down there and we would ride those things. Usually it was the black one we rode. He seemed to be a little more agreeable than the other one. And so we would get that. We would go what I call a rope bridle. It was not one of these that the bridle part went into the mouth. It was one that just slipped up over the nostril. And we would ride that old big horse. We'd have to get up on a fence thing there and crawl up there to even get on this horse. He was a big thing, you know, monstrous thing. And so we decided we was going to ride. Both of us rode the same horse. And so many times we found out over the time period of time that there was sometimes that horse did not want to be ridden. I mean, he just wasn't up to it. He didn't want it. And whenever he didn't want to be ridden, he just simply headed for the woods. I mean, there was a place down there. He had a limb all picked out. He had it picked out, I think, from eternity, I think. But anyway, he went, and he would go right under this limb. And I mean, there wasn't room for Tom and I to go underneath that limb. And I'd say, or he would say, whoever in front, hang on. We'd hang on to the other one. The other one would grab a hold of the limb and scoot off back from the horse, and that's where we'd go. Now, other days, he was just fine. He didn't care if we rode him. He'd go anywhere I wanted him to go. I could guide him. But when he didn't want to go, I don't care how much you pulled that rope, didn't make any difference, because he didn't have one of those bridles in his mouth, you see. And that makes a difference. If you got a bridle in your mouth, you can control a big old animal. But we just had a rope bridle. We couldn't control him. I mean, he would just decide what he wanted to do. Well, this is what mankind does. They stubbornly go against the will of God. And they say, well, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. Back in the 32nd chapter of Psalms, one of my favorite portions of Scripture, I've learned so much from that portion of Scripture. God says, don't be like the horse or the mule that had to put a bridle in your mouth, a bit in your mouth. Because you see, with a bit, God can jerk you back. And He does put bits in our mouths. We get to the place where we're not going to do what God says. I'll say, I'll just put a little bit down there and I'll just pull him back. See, that's what I'm saying. When God has these ways of reproving and bringing men to Himself, some men, though, are like that old horse. Just decide to do what he wanted to do, no matter what anybody wanted him to do. He's just going to go his own way. And that's what men stubbornly do against God. They harden their neck and they say, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I know I'm unsaved. I know I'm headed for hell, but I'm not going to get saved. What a terrible, horrible thing. And sometimes we as Christians, we say, I know what God wants me to do. I know what direction God wants me to be in. And yet I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to do it my way. I'm not going to do it according to the Bible. I'm just going to do it my way. You see, that's a person who hardens his neck against God. Don't harden your neck against God. God has a way of taking care of that, as we're going to find out. So please, please, don't do that. I remember here a while back, I went over to the hospital in Sullivan, Indiana. There was a lady there that I had witnessed to down through the years. I'd been in her and his home for many times. I don't know how many times, but I've been in there. They seemed like to me they was older folk way back there. And as I remember now, they're right close to 90s. And I went into this went into this hospital room. I heard she was in there. I went in and I began to talk to her again. She recognized me. She could not hardly converse much, but I would ask her a question. She would shake her head or shake it no like this. And I talked to her and I said, I want to talk to you about the Lord one more time. Please let me do that. I said, is it all right? And she just kind of went just like that, you know. And I said, okay. And so I went through the plan of salvation. I have done so many times with her. Her husband was standing right over there beside the bed. He said, it's all right if you want to do that. And anyway, we did. And we got to the end of it. And I said to her, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? And she went, I said, do you believe he died for your sins? And she went, just kind of a little nod. I said, well, you believe the Bible? And I went through all of this and asked her, do you believe the Bible and all this? Yeah. I said, oh, that's wonderful. And I said, you know, if you'll call upon Christ and ask him to save you, he'll save you and give you eternal life. I said, would you like to do that? And you could see her even chin stiffen up. And she went like that, stubbornly against the blessed Son of God. Stubbornly against what God wanted her to do. Could go to heaven if she'd just yield unto the blessed Son of God, ask him to save her, give her everlasting life. And she stiffened that little old chin up and just shook it slowly like that. She was not going to get saved. Just like she had done multitudes of times, except then she'd speak and say no. She was not going to do it. What a horrible thing. Folks, listen. We must yield to the blessed Son of God. We must not harden our necks against him, you see. This is the sin that seals man's doom. God couldn't do anything for her if she won't be willing to accept Christ as her personal Savior. Amen. No, men harden their neck against God. And let me say to you also, Christians, we have to be careful because we can harden our neck against God too. The blessed will of God for our life. And we get hard against God. We get hard against what he wants us to do. And we say no to God, you know. Well, listen, there's a danger in that. But I want to take you over, first of all, hold your place there in Proverbs. I want to take you over to John, the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. I want to show you what the Israelites did here, and it's what multitudes are doing today. I want to just simply start reading the verse 33 of chapter 5. Jesus here speaking said, "You sent unto John," in verse 33, chapter 5, "You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." God said, Jesus said, "I sent John the Baptist before me to testify of me." John the Baptist, a great man of God, a prophet of God, come before, predicted that he would come in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, predicted that he would come. They knew he was coming, and John the Baptist come to bear witness of the light. There was a man sent before Jesus Christ, a voice crying in the wilderness. Amen. God says, there's a witness I sent to you that you ought to have listened to. In verse number 36, he says, "But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me." He said, not only that, did I send John the Baptist as a bearing witness to the light, which is Christ. He said, I sent my works, and this is Jesus speaking. Look at all the miracles I did. Look at all that I did in how I healed the folk and how I quieted the storms and all I raised people from the dead. I've done all of those miracles here to bear witness with you that I'm the child of God, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Messiah. And you still wouldn't listen. But he said not only that in verse 37. "And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and ye have not this his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him ye believe not." Once again he says the Heavenly Father has also borne witness of me. There was at least two different times, possibly 30 times, that he spoke openly. "This is my beloved Son in which I am well pleased." The Son of God, the Father bearing witness of the Son of God said that at His baptism, said that up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said that. He bore witness of the fact. He said, there it is. He said, there is John the Baptist. There's the works that I do. There's the Father Himself bearing witness. And He says there's one more. In verse numbers 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. He said, search those Scriptures. And they was searching those Scriptures. But they did not realize that in the Scriptures, as they searched them, that there was speaking of Jesus Christ. And there was the other witness. It was the Word of God bore witness to Jesus Christ. And He said, you still won't come to me. It's the hardness of heart. You still won't do it. The witnesses are there. I say to you today, no matter what condition your heart's in today, the witness is here today. There's preachers who preach it. The works of Jesus are plain. The Father has given witness of His Son, and the Scriptures are there. If you want to find out about Christ, it's there. He's all through the Word of God. And yet multitudes will not come to Him that they might have life. What is it? They've hardened their neck against God, and they will not come to Him. Well, I want to show you next in Proverbs, the 29th chapter, the first verse. I want to show you the danger of resisting God. What happens when we harden our neck against God? We find in verse number 1, He said, harden his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. My friend, God says, if you harden your neck against me, often reproved, and you harden your neck against me, you're suddenly going to be destroyed. In other words, God is telling us at least three things in that statement. First of all, that judgment is absolutely certain. If you'll notice in that verse of Scripture, he says, shall suddenly be destroyed. He doesn't say maybe, or hope so, or might so, or whatever it might be. He said he shall be destroyed. No doubt about it. Amen. That judgment is absolutely certain. It's appointed once unto man to die, and after that cometh the judgment. Amen. It's appointed once for man to die. After that comes the judgment. Amen. You see, it is for sure. It is something that maybe is going to happen. It absolutely is going to happen. But back in Noah's day, and the flood came, and I'm sure that over those many years, people doubted that it would come, but it made no difference what they thought. It was going to come, and it did come. Why? Because God said it would, you see. No doubt about it. We can look at Pharaoh and his host and multitudes of other things in the Scripture. Pharaoh didn't think that he was going to be drowned that day. He kept hardening his heart against God over and over. And there come a day, though, when he lost his oldest son and he lost his army. He was destroyed as God said he would be. Not again, that rich man in hell. Oh my, that rich man in hell lived sumptuously, had everything he wanted. But did you notice there come a day when judgment came? When he opened up his eyes in hell, being in torment, there come a day. Judgment is absolutely certain. And let me say also, according to this verse of Scripture, judgment is sudden. The Bible says, and shall suddenly be destroyed. You see, you remember back in Luke, the 12th chapter, when he told that man who had built barns and tore down his barns and built greater barns. That's what he was going to do anyway. That was his plans to do. And he said, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. I didn't say tomorrow. I didn't say next week, next month. He said, tonight, suddenly, his soul was going to be required of him. You see, it's for sure judgment's coming, and it's going to be sudden judgment when it comes. It'll seem judgment. It'll seem sudden to you. One of these days, too, we might say to you, the Bible says that Jesus is coming, and He's coming in a twinkling of an eye. Can you stand tonight or today and declare the fact that Jesus will not come today? It could come today. Suddenly come, and it's all over. See, judgment is absolutely certain, and judgment is absolutely sudden when it comes. And not only that, judgment will be final. Look what he says in verse number one. And that without remedy. Don't let anybody fool you into thinking that God's going to give you another opportunity. That's unscriptural. He is not going to do it. It is absolutely, when we die, the tree falleth as it is and stays laid as it is. If you're in hell, you'll stay there forever. If you're in heaven, you'll stay there forever. Amen? Judgment will be final. You remember that time? You remember that time, the story of Jezebel, Ahab and Jezebel, and how the prophet Elijah had predicted that the dogs would eat Jezebel? He predicted that. And Jehu come riding up one day and up to the palace, and Jezebel stuck her head out. And she had done her hair all nice and painted her face, and she had probably done that 100 times or 1,000 times before, trying to look good for somebody, and they'd take sorrow upon her. And she done this, stuck her head out, and he said, "Is there anybody up there that's on my side?" And there was some eunuchs. It says 2 or 3. I don't know which it means. It means, it simply says 2 or 3. But 2 or 3 eunuchs, he said, they stuck their head out, and they were saying, "I'm on your side." He said, "Throw her down." The Bible says they threw her over the wall, and the blood got onto the wall, and she fell down onto the ground. And it said that he trod over her with his horse and trod her. If she wasn't dead, he finished the work. And then he went in to eat, the Bible says. And he came out later. He said, "Well, we better go out." And he said, sent some folk out. He said that she's a king's daughter. You ought to go out and check her. We ought to bury her at least. And he went out, and all that was left was her skull, and the palms of her hand and the soles of her feet was left. The dogs had eaten her. Judgment had come. I say to you, the prophet of God, Elijah, had predicted this and said this would happen. And it took place because God said it would take place. It's final judgment. Jezebel could do no more. Now she was done. It was over. She'd never go to heaven. She'd spend an eternity in the devil's hell. Why? Because her judgment had come, and it was final. And she wouldn't do anything about her wickedness and getting right with God. I'm simply saying this to you. In verse number 1 of chapter 29, that is one solemn verse of Scripture. God says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." There is no hope, my friend, after death. Let me say something to you. If you do not come to Christ, you cannot say that he does not love you and does not want you to come. Over and over in the Word of God, he extends that invitation to you to come to him. He wants you to come to him. He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Isn't that marvelous? He says, "Whosoever," makes no difference who it is. If you want to be saved, come and call upon the name of the Lord. Put your faith and trust in Jesus, and he'll save you. Now, folks, that's what God wants to do for you. But if you continue to harden your neck against God, and you continue to do that, you're going to harden your heart to the place where God's going to destroy you, and there'll be no remedy for you after that. You cannot say you have not had a chance to be saved. You cannot say that. You could be saved right here today. Amen? You could give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ right here today. You cannot stand before God and say, "I never had an opportunity to be saved." No, 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 no. God loves you. God wants to save you. God does not want to destroy you. God does not want to destroy you without remedy. That's not what God wants to do. The reason I know that is because he said, "Over and over and over I've reproved them. Over and over and over I've sought them. I've beckoned them to come. I want them to come." You see, but then there comes a place when we harden that old heart of ours to the place where we won't pay attention to God. We won't listen to him. We want to do our own thing, and we harden our neck. Please, please understand there's a judgment coming. Do you understand it's without remedy? Is there anyone here today that can stand and say, "I know I'll see tomorrow. I know I'll be alive tomorrow"? Multitudes of people have thought that. In fact, most people, I think, that die the next day think they're probably going to live. We don't sit around thinking we're going to die tomorrow. There's not a one of us knows who might go tomorrow. Amen. Not one of us know that. That's God's business. I'm simply saying, though, isn't it wonderful that we can know where we're going? Oh, my, we can know where we're going. If we put our faith and trust in Christ, and that's what I'm asking you to do today. Folks, you have an opportunity right here today to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, call upon his name, asking him to save you. And the Bible says that he'll do it. He loves you today. He wants to save you. Don't let anything stop you from getting saved today. That's more important than anything. We're talking about eternity. Amen? So I beg of you to please let God deal with your heart today. If you're not saved, please, at the invitation, just step forward. Step out from where you are. Don't care who's sitting beside you. If you need to get out, just tell them you want to get out. Maybe that person will even go with you if you want them to. But you need to come. You need to receive Christ as your Savior. You need to be sure you're ready for heaven. Amen? You see, I think there was a time back, and I'm not sure. Listen, don't take a chance. Don't take a chance on eternity. Eternity is forever. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I do thank you today for the wonderful Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that you've often, over and over again, reproved us and how merciful you are to us in loving us. But Lord, we know too there comes a time when a man hardens his heart against God. And Lord, that you have to destroy him without remedy, not because you want to, not because it's your desire to, because it just hardened their hearts against you. We ask you this morning, Father, please soften those hearts. I ask you, Lord, if there's those here without Jesus, oh God, please let this be the day that they're born into God's family. Help them to understand how much you love them, but help them to understand they're sinners undone without you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.